Today's shiur is Masechta Beya, Dav Zayin Amun Aleph, and we're going to begin on Dav Zayin Amun Aleph, six lines from the top. Actually, the first Gemara we're going to learn today is very similar to the last Gemara we discussed yesterday, but we need to just say a word of introduction. Eggs can be developed into... Eggs can come from a hen in one of two ways. One is when the hen and the rooster mate and they produce an egg. And the other type of egg is what's known as safna da'ara. Safna da'ara is when the hen is put into a very hot environment. Rishonim explained that they used to rub themselves against the earth and that increased the heat in the body until ultimately an egg was developed and laid. That's called Safna da'ara. In today's shiur, we're going to learn some important halachas regarding Safna da'ara, some distinctions between an egg which is Safna da'ara and an egg which is born in a natural way. And the most noticeable difference between an egg which is Safna da'ara and an egg which is not is that an egg that Safna da'ara can never turn into a chicken. An egg that Safna da'ara will always remain an egg. And it actually has very relevant halach l'maaseh ramifications, not really the subject of today's shiur. And that is, we know that an egg that's found with a blood spot on it is a non-kosher egg. However, why? Because that's the beginning of the formation of a chicken, of an embryo, of a chicken, which is not yet a chicken. As we learned in the previous shiur, that would be in the status of a sheretz, and it's non-kosher. And that egg has to be discarded. And you can have a problem if somebody used such an egg. What does it affects the food that it was used in? It affects the utensils in which it was baked and cooked in. An egg that's safna da'ara is, even if it has a blood spot, it's rare to have one, but even if it would have a blood spot, it would not be usur. The minig is that we continue checking eggs, even though the eggs are safna da'ara, most of the eggs that we have. There's a machloikis amongst the poskim. If a blood spot is found on an egg which is safna da'ara, what do you do? Most poskim say that all you have to do is just remove the blood spot. Rav Moshe says that you should throw out the whole egg. But certainly if such an egg was used in cooking and baking, we don't have a problem with the kashrus of the food or of the utensils which was used. Says the Gemara, Hu d'amal hu beit d'ichru l'man. There was somebody came to the market and asked, who has eggs that were produced by a hen and a rooster? Bey the dichru l'man. Yovle bey the safna da'ara. So instead of giving him eggs that were produced in the natural way, they gave him safna da'ara eggs. Osla kameder Rav Ami. So he came to Rav Ami and said that I was cheated. Omlu mekach tasu fahada. Again, like we learned in yesterday's Gemara, the sheet explains, it's obvious that he didn't get what he was supposed to, and it's a mekach tos. So pshita, why did he have to go through this whole explanation? Answers the Gemara, Mada taima hai lachila kabayluhu. The customer intended to eat the egg. Eating egg, yes, an egg that comes from a hen and a rooster is a better tasting egg, or it's a more nutritional egg, than an egg that comes from safna da'ara. But you can make an egg, you can make an omelet or a scrambled egg from either. So he's entitled to the difference between the value of a better egg versus a not such a good egg. But he doesn't deserve all his money back. Because he really only wanted the dechrim shum the shemin and tvei. It's a better egg. L'may nafkamina. L'masulay b'ni b'ni. So then he only deserves the difference in value. K'mash mu'an. No. What the customer says is, I wanted to let this egg develop into a chicken. The egg that softened the arrow, as we explained, will never develop into a chicken. And that's why I'm entitled to the whole money back. And that's what Rav Ami said is a mekach tos. And he doesn't just get the difference in value between a better egg and not such a good egg. He gets his whole money back. Now the Gemara goes back, because what we're in the middle of doing is Rav Huna Marav made a statement. Be'ye im yitziyosoy nigmara. And the Gemara is trying to understand what does that statement mean. What is the definition of a mitzios nigra? A mitzias roba nigra. If most of the egg exits the body of the hen. Even if it goes back into the hen, it's already considered born. If most of the egg exited the hen from Erev Yontif, the chazri, even though it goes back into the body and then comes out only on Yontif, the lach would be Mataris lach be Yontif. Even though on Yontif we said an egg that's laid on Yontif is also first Mishnah of the Masechta, this is not considered that it was laid on Yontif. Vikadamri, just the opposite. Mayim Yitzyasa Nigmara, and Yitzyasa Kula Nigmara. And Yitzyasa Kula, only when the egg completely exits the body, Avrubaloi. If only most of it went out and went back in and then comes out, that will not be acceptable, because according to this version, Lefukim with Rabbi Yochanan, we're disagreeing with Rabbi Yochanan. According to Rabbi Yochanan, if the egg came out mostly, it's considered born. According to this version, Rav disagrees with Rabbi Yochanan, and if most of the egg came out, it would not be acceptable. So the Tzlach asks a question. He says, yesterday we really learned this already in the Afez of Mabez, that if you extract eggs from inside the hen's womb, it's not considered that it was null de biyontif. And the Gemara said, because it's muslo shchicha, that's not the way eggs are usually obtained. So ask the Tzlach, and is it normal that an egg should come out mostly and then go back in and then come out? The Chazal should say that such an egg is asr. The Beis Hillel should say, according to Rav, that such an egg is asr. So the Tzlach says like this. He says, certainly an egg coming in and out, that's not the normal way. But it's still being laid, the way eggs are laid. Maybe this specific circumstance is unique, but it falls under the general category of eggs being laid. And that's why if Chazal said that an egg that's laid in Yontif is Osir, this egg is Osir. However, an egg that's extracted from the womb of a hen is totally a Muslo Shchicha, it wasn't laid at all, there Chazal did not make exam. The Chasam Sofer and the Tzlach also discuss what is the basis of the machloikis between Rabbi Yochanan and Rav if an egg comes out and goes back in, is it considered born or not? Because they both say it's difficult to explain that the machloikis should be based, do we say that we follow the roiv, the rubika kula or not? And that Rabbi Yochanan holds we follow roiv and Rav doesn't. Because we know throughout Shas the rule is rubika kula. Therefore, the Tzlach explains that we've learned, again, at the beginning of the Masechta, there's a machloikis, why an egg that's born on Yontif is Osir. Rav, we learned one reason, Rav has said because of Achana the Rabbah, and Rabbi Yochanan said because of Paris and Noishim. It's similar to fruit that falls down, says the Tzlach. Rabbi Yochanan, we learned, holds the reason is because of Paris and Noishim. An egg falling, coming out on Yontif is like a fruit that falls down, says the Tzlach. Certainly an egg that comes out, Erev Yontif, and then goes back in and comes out on Yontif, is not Paris and Noishim. And therefore, there's no reason to make the gzeira. However, according to Rav, the concern is that it looks like a chana. And that is the same situation, whether it went through this circumstance or that circumstance. The Chasam Sofer, I'm just going to mention it briefly, has a very lumdish approach. Because if you recall, on Daf Dalad Amun Aleph, we discussed a situation where we had Thursday Erev Yontif, then Friday Yontif, and then Shabbos, and an egg was born on Friday is a mutter on Shabbos or not. So it was Machlokes Rav and Rabbi Yochanan there also. And the Gemara explained, because do we subscribe to Achana the Rabbah or not? And Taifa says, if the egg was born laid on Friday, so we said that every egg that's laid on Friday is born the day before, so why should it be Asur on Yontif? So Taifa gave two answers. One answer is that even though it begins to be prepared on Erev Yontif, you can't ignore the actual Leidah. And the other explanation is that if it would have been born on Shabbos, it would be Yasser. So what made it mutter? The fact that it was born on Erev Shabbos, on Yontif. So it comes out that the Achon is from Erev Shabbos. Says the Chasam Sofer, those two terutzim are really the machloikas of Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. According to the Mandam that we look at the actual Leidah, so here the actual Leidah was on Yontif. According to the Mandam, we look at the Din, what would have been, and here we don't look at it that way. Says the Gemara, Gufa, Hashaych Rastanagoyel, so somebody shechs a chicken, or matzabah beye gemurus, and he finds it beye gemurus, and we touched upon this yesterday, there are a number of shitas in the Rishonim, what beye gemurus mean. According to Rashi, it's as long as the yolk is developed. According to most Rishonim, and that's what the Shulchan Aruch says, the yolk and the white have to be developed. Others say that even there's a membrane, you can notice it when you make a hard-boiled egg, around white, that also has to be developed. That's called a soft shell. And other Rishonim say you even have to have the hard shell to be considered Bein Gemurus. So Hashachas Tanagos Motzav Bein Gemurus, Betaras Lachna B'cholof. The halach is, the Gemara Masech Techulim discusses it, the Gemara asks an obvious question, how are you allowed to have a cheese omelet? An egg is fleishik, it comes from a chicken. So the Gemara says that once it's an egg, it's not considered a chicken anymore. So that's why, once the gemuris, they may be eaten with cholof. Rabbi Yaakov Omer, im hoyem muris begidin, if there's still tissue connecting it to the ovaries, asuris. They're still considered part of the chicken, they're still considered meat, and they're also to eat. Ask the Gemara, man tana l'ha de tana rabbanon, who's the tana of the following braisa? The braisa says, hoyechum nevelos oif tar, the halach is, there's a very interesting din in the Torah. We know normally, if something is tamei, if you touch it, you carry it, you become tamei. There's one unique din. It's called nevelos oif tar. Nevelos oif tar, it means a dead chicken. A chicken that wasn't geshachten, a dead chicken, there you don't become tamei if you eat it. You only become tamei if you don't become tamei if you touch it. You become tamei when you eat it. So the halach is, anoichum nevelos oif tar, somebody eats from the veil of this bird, min ashalal, from the eggs, min shalal shalbeim, min atzamais, from the bones, min agidin, and Rashi explains, min abosar, from the flesh, shenitlash min achai, tar. That's not considered that you ate from the chicken. Rashi explains, why not min agidin? Because the ain begidin nois and tam, the Gemara says, m'sach t'chulin, gidin don't have taste, so they're not considered bosar. The Miri says, you can hold gidin benois and tam, you can hold that gidin have taste, they're not considered bosar. Continues the Braisa, min eshkol shalbeim, which we'll explain means the ovaries, min akorkvim from the crap, name ayin is the testins, oshehim ches achelif, and one melted the fat, v'gomai, and he swallows it, and the Gemara teaches us that even if you just swallow on the velos oiftar, you tomei. Says the Gemara, man tanim min eshlal shalbeim tar, who's the mandam that says if you eat the eggs, you're not considered as you ate the nevela and you tar. I'm Rabbi Yosef, the like Rabbi Yaakov. This seemingly is not like what Rabbi Yaakov taught us. Dik Rabbi Yaakov, if you're going to say it's going to Rabbi Yaakov, Homer of Yaakov just taught us, im hoyim urus begidin, if they're still connected to the ovaries, asuris. Amalei Abaya says Abaya Mimai. Why should you say this? Dilma. At Kanli, come Rabbi Yaakov Hassan. You know when Rabbi Yaakov said that these eggs are still considered basar? Linyan Isura. Is it considered basar? Is it considered basar b'cholof? So that Rabbi Yaakov says it's considered basar b'cholof. Elinyan Toma, regarding that it's considered nevelos oif tar, that Rabbi Yaakov will agree that it's not. V'chi tema, and you'll ask the obvious question, linyan tama nami nigzar, just like Rav Yaakov considers it basar, as far as basar b'cholov, he should consider it basar regarding Toma. Says the Gemara, afushi tomahu. What this means is that we'll make more of the chicken susceptible to Tumas Nevelos of Tar, v'fushi tumah d'rabbanon l'mifshinim. Since we're only dealing with a d'rabbanon, that's why we don't spread Toma. So Rishonim ask, after understanding this Gemara, we learn a new thing. According to Rabbi Yaakov, the eggs that are still connected to the ovaries are really not basar. It's a gzeira that they should be treated like basar and may not be eaten with milk. So ask the Rishonim, it's a gzeira l'gzeira. Because the Gemara says in Masech Techulin that basar oif b'cholav, poultry with milk, is only osam d'rabbanan, not d'raisa. So now, poultry itself is only osam d'rabbanan. And now we're making gzeira l'gzeira. So there are two approaches in the Rishonim. One approach in the Rishonim is that it's this Gemara, Rav Yaakov is going to hold the bas oif b'cholav is an issa d'raisa, it's a machloikas masech t'chulin. And the other approach is kul chad gzeira. When Chazal said that you're not allowed to eat the meat of a poultry with milk, these eggs were included in that gzeira. But then the Farshim asked another question, very obvious question. The Gemara says regarding isser, regarding eating it with milk, he says, I make a gzeira. Regarding tumma, we don't want to spread tumma. So Mefarshim all ask, if you learn through Shas a little, we find many gzeiras of Chazal regarding Hilchas Tumma. And the Gemara never takes the approach, no, we don't want to spread, have more tumah. All of a sudden now, we're taking that approach. So I saw a number of terutzim. One terutz is that nevelas oif tar is a very unique type of tumah. It's the only tumah, as we said, that you become tumah when you eat, not when you touch. So that type of tumah, being that it's unique, Chazal don't try to expand on. Another teretz, very similar. Eating a nevelas oif tar is a misal shchicha. It's uncommon. A misal shchicha legoz barabon. A third teretz I saw, a very nice teretz. We know that if something becomes tameh, it can be rectified. If a table becomes tameh, we can take the table to the mikveh. A nevelas oif tar cannot be rectified. If it's tameh, it's tameh. When did Chazal say that even though midaraisa something's not tamei, will be geyser, it should be tamei, on something that tumah could be rectified? But if we're going to say that these eggs are susceptible to nevelas oif tar, there's no way of fixing that. That's why Chazal did not took that very seriously and did not want to expand on it. Ekadamri, the other version of explaining this Gemara, mantana meneshkel shabeim tamei, that one of the things that was listed as being tamei is eshkel shabayim. Rav Yaakov, it's similarly Rav Yaakov. Domer im hayim urus begidim asuris. So the Gemara is learning that when the Brisa says eshkel shabayim, it doesn't mean the ovaries; it means the eggs that are connected to the ovary. Amar Rabaya, memay the eshkel mehanech the talya ba'eshkel. Who tells you to explain that the Brisa means the eggs connected to the ovaries? Dilma eshkel gufei. It means the ovaries themselves. Ask the Gemara, if it means the ovaries themselves, the chitema eshkel gufei ma'ila memory, why do you have to teach it? It's obviously that the ovaries are part of the chicken. Answers the Gemara, mida da hava krok of rebnei mayim. You could ask the same question. Why did the Brisa have to teach us about the crop? Why did the Brisa have to teach us about the intestines? Da'afagav de bosanunu. What do we have to explain? That even though they are part of the chicken, since kiven the ik inch de loy achli, there are people that don't eat those pieces. Those aren't the part that you ever ate. Did you ever think of eating an ovary of a chicken? It's rikhlashminen that they still fall under the tumma, the din of tnevelas oif tar. Hachinami kiven the ik inch de loy achli. People don't eat the ovaries, so we think that they're not under the status of nevelas oif tar. It's rikhlashminen. But the Brisa is not talking about the eggs. Tana Rabbanan, says the Gemara Braisa, Kol shetashmisha b'yoyim, any living creature that mates only by day, noyla b'yoyim, will only have offspring by day. Kol shetashmisha b'layla, any living creature that mates only in night, noyla b'layla, all of its offspring will be born by night. Kol shetashmisha b'yoyim 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 b'layla, anything that mates by day and by night, noyla b'yoyim 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 b'layla, could have offspring by day and by night. And the Gemara explains, Kol shetashmisha b'yoyim, noil b'yoyim. What is something that only mates by day? Zutana goyos. Chickens only mate by day. Kol shetashmisha b'layla. What only mates at night? Noil b'layla, zu atlef. In yeshiva we always used to teach an atlef means a bat. Kol shetashmisha b'yoyim, b'yoyim b'layla. Who mates by day and by night? Adam. And like the call the domele, and anything similar to that. And like the Meiri explains, it doesn't mean that if humans mate by day, the children will be born by day. And if they mate by night, children will be born by night. That's, of course, not true. What it means is, we look at the nature. Humans can mate by day and by night. Therefore, they can have children by day and by night. Even though maybe they had relations by night, they can have children by day or vice versa. Chickens only mate by day, so they only have children by day. And the other way, by a bat. Just for a minute, the Chassidish Sforim have a very interesting way of homiletically explaining this Gemara. They say like this, Kol shetashmisha b'yoyim, whoever in this world does his mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim, for schar of yoyim, for olam haba, he'll have schar b'yoyim. Kol shetashmisha b'layla, whoever does mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim to have schar b'layla in this world, which is compared to layla, he'll get a schar b'layla, who get a schar in this world. Kol shetashmishai bein b'yoyim, bein b'layla. Whoever does what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, he doesn't think day, night, olam haza, olam haba. He does because HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, he'll be zoicha, olam haza, and Olam Haba. Ask the Gemara. L'may nafkamina. The Gemara is not a science book. So the question is, why do we need to understand, to know this fact about when the offspring will be born? Says the Gemara, there's a halachic nafkamina. L'chadar of Mary Bered Rav Kahana. Domer of Mary Bered Rav Kahana. Bad the bikina shaltana goylem Erev Yontif. You walk into your chicken coop, Erev Yontif, and there are no eggs born. For Lematzva Bay, there's no eggs there. L'machar, tomorrow morning, Yontif in the morning, Hishkim Amotzba Beya, you walk in and you find an egg. So we should assume that when was that egg born? On Yontif. And since that egg was laid on Yontif, we go back to our Mishnah, that egg that was laid on Yontif, Beis Hillel says, you're not allowed to eat. Meteris. It's supposed to be eaten. Why? Because as we just learned, that egg could have not been born at night. Eggs aren't born by night, aren't laid by night, and therefore you could assume it was there from Erev Yontif. Ask the Gemara, V'loy Bodak. But I examined the chicken coop in Erev Yontif and I didn't see any egg. Says the Gemara, Eim Eloi Badek, Yofa Yofa. You obviously didn't do such a good job of checking. Vafilu Badek Yofa. And even if you're sure that you checked well, Eim Yotza Ruba, V'chazra Havoi. Perhaps what happened here was that the egg came out of the body of the hen, then went back in, and then only came out completely at night. And it goes like Reb Yochanan that we learned at the beginning of our shiur today that says that such an egg is considered as if it was born before Yontif. And Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach makes a diik. He says, "Ulamocha hishkim." What's the Gemara saying? There was a long light in between from when you checked Erev Yontif until the next morning. Still, Rav Meri is teaching it couldn't have happened by night. Ask the Gemara, is that true? V'am Rav Yosi ben Shol, Amarav, Bodek b'kinah shel Tana Goylis. If somebody checks the chicken coop, Merv Yontif, V'lay Matzah Babeya, and doesn't find any egg in it, U'lamacha Hishkim Matzah Babeya, and the next morning he walks and he finds the egg, Asura. Why? Because we assume there was born on the night of Yontif. So we see that eggs are laid by night. Answers the Gemara, Hachem b'safna ma'ara. Which eggs are only born by day? Eggs that came when the chickens made it naturally. Safna ma'ara, that's no such, it wasn't, there was no hen and rooster. Therefore, those eggs could be laid at night. Ask the Gemara, Ayochi de Rameri Nami. So now I don't understand Rameri's din. Rameri told me that we could assume that the egg was the heir of Yontif. How could you assume that? Ema ma'ara safna. We should be concerned that this was safna ma'ara, and the egg was born on Yontif at night. Answers the Gemara, we're dealing with a situation where there's a rooster and a hen there. Ask the Gemara, fine, there's a rooster. Why not say, Eima Ma'ara Safna, that even though there's a rooster there, this egg came from Safna Da'ara? Amar Ravina, so Ravina answers, Gemiri, we have a rule. Kol Heicha De'ika Zachar, wherever there's a rooster available to the hen, Lo Safna Ma'ara. They're not going to rely on the non-natural process if they can rely on the natural process. At Kama, ask the Gemara, how far is it considered that there's a rooster nearby? Amar Rav Gamda Mishmei Duraf. Kol Heicha Deshama Kolabi Mama. If the hen and rooster are in proximity, that they could hear each other making noise during the day, that's considered that they're close enough that there will not be any eggs that are Safna Ma'ara. Rashi says, why do we foul day, not night? He says, because by day there's more noise than by night. So we have to say day, because by night it's easier to hear than by night. Taisus has a much simpler reason. We just learned in Amun Aleph that chickens only mate by day. So we have to hear, they have to hear each other by day. By night they're not going to mate anyway. I saw a very nice vart from the Pninim Yekorim. The Pasuk says that Eishes Petifar, when she was speaking about Yosef, of course she was lying, and she says that Yosef tried to rape her. He says, V'ekra b'kol gadol. I made a loud voice. So the Mefarshim says, Vekra b'kol, I screamed. What does it say, b'kol gadol? So the answer, because the Pasuk says, V'yava hayoyim. Yosef came by day. Rashi just taught us, by day, there's a lot of noise. It's hard to hear something. That's what she says. It was by day, so I had to yell, b'kol gadol. If I would just been called, nobody would have heard me. Ovi Rameri Uvda at Shittenbati. Rameri said that up to 60 houses, a hen and a rooster know about each other's existence. Vikr Nara, but if there's a river in between, even though they're close by, Loyavra, they're not going to pass the river. Vikr Mavra, But if there's a bridge over the river, Maver, it will go over. Vika Mitzra, if the only way to pass the river is like with a rope, and you have to walk on a tight rope, Loy Avra, then the hen won't go to the rooster or vice versa. Have Ovda, however, there was once a situation, V'Ovda a Mitzra. And the chicken even walked over, the hen walked over a rope just to mate. Says the Gemara. B'maya kimta. So how do we explain that when we find nothing on Erev Yontif, and then Yontif in the morning we find something, it's Asr, when there's no hen, there's no rooster available. And that's why we're the Safna Ma'ara. Ask the Gemara if that's the case, my Irya Bodak, why does it have to be that it changed? Kiloi Bodak Nami. Let's say you didn't check. In other words, the Gemara is asking the following question. And we'll explain it the way Tosfos explains. Erev Yontif, I walk into the chicken coop. I don't see, I didn't walk into the chicken coop. So I don't know. Yontif in the morning, when I walk in, I see an egg. So I should have to be machmer. Because since we're dealing with a Safna Ma'ara situation, we should be concerned that the egg was born Yontif by night. And like Tosfos reminds us, we learned the Gemara on Daf Dalet that since an egg is a Dovah Sheyesh Lematirin, after Yontif you won't have any Shaila. So why get involved in any Shaila? You should not be allowed to eat this until after Yontif. Yet from the way the Gemara quoted the Brais on Amun Aleph, it's only because I checked on Erev Yontif and there was no egg. That's why if I see an egg Yontif in the morning and it's Safna Ma'ara, I assume that it was born at night. Which means to say that had I net checked, I could safely eat the egg, assuming that I was born on Erev Yontif. How could I do that? Kiloi Badak, if I didn't check, I should still not be allowed to eat this egg on Yontif, because Eimam Esmel Havoy, says the Mari Hachi, Kibadak Nami. So it says, Kiloi Badak Eimam Esmel Havoy. If I didn't check it, I could assume it was there from yesterday. And like Tosfos explains, 2 points. He says, even eggs that are Safna Ma'ara generally are born by day, not by night. And even though we're dealing with a situation of a Dovah Sheyesh Lematirin, so we should be Machmer, says the Ran, when are we Machmer? We're only Machmer when there's a Cheskas Isser. That means the Gemara we had in Daf Dalet, we had one egg that was a problem, and one egg that wasn't. We don't know which one is which. Dovah Sheyesh Lematirin, wait till after Yontif. Here we don't know we have any problem. So even though it's a Dovah Sheyesh Lematirim, we're not Machmer. Says the Gemara, Ihochi Kibadak Nami, even if I checked Erev Yontif, and didn't find anything, why am I so quick to be Machmer? When it's a Safna Ma'ara situation, Eimo, Yotza, Rabba V'chazra, maybe what happened here is, most of the egg came out of Erev Yontif, and went back in, Ukreb Yochanan. And like Rabbi Yochanan told us, that that's the situation, that egg is Mutter, says the Gemara to Rabbi Yochanan HaShliach, to assume that that happened, that the egg came out of Erev Yontif, partially, went back, or mostly, went back into the body and then went out, that's something we don't assume. So the way the Rishonim summarize the Gemara is as follows. We have a number of situations. An egg that had a rooster by it, we certainly say only was born by day. An egg that's Safna Ma'ara, we also assume was born by day. Unless we have a strong thing pointing that was born by night. What would be such a case? Where I check Erev Yontif and found nothing. An egg, to start assuming most of it came out, and then most of it came out, and then went back in, that's something we is very rare, and we don't assume that that happened. So there's a machlokes between the Sfas Emes and Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach about the following situation. He says, what's going to be the din if you have an egg that's in an area where there's a hen and a rooster, and you see physically with your own eyes that that egg was born at night? What would be the din? The Sfas Emes says, given that the Gemara told us a fact that eggs that are born, laid naturally, that are, can never be born by day, with no other choice, I'm going to have to assume that that egg did have the Rabbi Yochanan situation. Some of it came out by day, went back in, and came out at night. There's no other way of explaining it. And if it would be the night of Yontif, it would be mutter to eat the egg. Rav Shlomo Zalman disagrees. He says, if you have an egg in front of you, and you see it's born on Yontif, to start, even though there are hens and roosters there, to start assuming that that's what happened is difficult. And the truth is, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach's position is a necessary position in halacha. Because I saw Rav Yosef Engel asks a gewaldige kasha. One of the fundamental unresolved questions in halacha is what is the status of Bein HaShemoshes? Every day we have Bein HaShemoshes. Is a day or is a night? One of the most unresolved areas of halacha. Says Rav Yosef Engel, why do we have a question? Let's see till when eggs give a born. Until when the egg is born, we know it's day. And from when eggs are stopped being laid, we know it's night. So why do we have all the problems with Bein HaShemoshes? Kval de Geshayla. So the Preet Tzaddik, again, based on this, says that even though the Gemara is telling us that eggs that are formed naturally are always born by day, there's always exception to the rule. And therefore, we cannot assume it. And the Paiskim can take this a step further. It goes back to something we spoke about at the beginning of the year. What's going to be the halacha? Well, I contracted to buy naturally born eggs. Eggs that came from a hen and a rooster. And then you give me an egg that I know was born by night. According to this Gemara, that should not be an egg that I asked for. And it should be a mekach tos. So can I get my money back? Or you're telling me, I'm telling you it's a naturally born egg. So based on what we're saying now, there are always exceptions to the rule. And the halach is that whenever there's a din taira, you have to be able to prove your claim 100%. I might smich aver olav araya. Since I can't prove unequivocally that this egg is not a naturally born egg, because now we're saying is there are exceptions, therefore you don't have to the person that I contracted with doesn't have to return the money. As we complete the sugya, the shaila comes up, if somebody buys an egg from a guy, what would be the halacha? Gets an egg from a guy on Yontif. So does he have to be concerned that the egg was laid on Yontif, or can we assume that it was laid on Erev Yontif? So the first thing the Rishonim say is they could rely on a Mesiach Lefutumai. We could assume, I don't know if we should assume it anymore, but we could assume that a guy doesn't learn the Daf Yomi. So the guy doesn't know if an egg was born on, doesn't know the difference in halacha if an egg was born on Yontif or on Erev Yontif. So if the guy comes and tells you that the egg was born on Erev Yontif, he doesn't understand that there's a difference to you in halacha, and you're allowed to accept the egg if he tells you it was born Erev Yontif. If the Pais is going to want to go a step further, maybe if the guy tells you the egg was born on Yontif, you shouldn't believe him, because really the egg was born Erev Yontif. He just thinks you want fresh eggs. That you can't do. If he tells you it was born on Yontif, you have to be concerned. The Paiskim discuss, let's say the guy comes on the second night of Yontif with an egg, Yontif Sheni Shogolis, then you can eat the egg, because of Manushach. If the egg was born by day, the second day we said you're allowed to eat it. If it was born before Yontif, you're certainly allowed to eat it. The only time it would be a problem is if it comes on the night of Rosh Hashanah. There, most Paiskim say that you should not eat that egg. They also discuss a nafkamina, if you go to, if the guy brings you an egg, then we could say, call the parish, Meruba parish, versus if you go to the guy, there's a concept of the kol kavua kemechza mechzadami. It's not for now. Says the Gemara, V'am Rabbi Yosef ben Shaul Amaraf, hay tum shchika, garlic juice, sakanta l'gluya. The Gemara discusses many times that any liquid that's left exposed, you're not allowed to drink, because they're concerned that the snake took a sip from it and put in its venom. A very strong halacha, it's brought out in Shulchan Aruch. Says the Gemara that that halacha applies to garlic juice also. So the Klozen Rebbe asks, why should garlic juice be different than any other liquid? So he says that the Gemara is teaching us, we may think that since garlic juice is so sharp, snakes aren't interested in it. So the Gemara says that they drink spicy liquids also. We learned in the Mishnah, a machloek is between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai said that by yeast, or in yeshiva, really the way it tied it, is sourdough, which is not something that's chametz, it's just something that can make something else chametz. The shear is a kaiseves. By chametz, the shear for owning it on Yontav is kazayis. And Beis Hillel say both of them, the shear is kazayis. Ask the Gemara, my tamay de Beis Shammai. Why does Beis Shammai draw a distinction between chametz and sar? And the Rishonim ask, why is the Gemara trying to understand Beis Shammai's position? We should try to understand Beis Hillel's position. We always pass him like Beis Hillel. So Rishonim answer, Beis Hillel is very easy to understand. First of all, they're consistent. They treat sar and chametz the same way. And number two, what are they saying is the shear? Kazayis. B'chol ha-tayrakul, the shear is always a kazayis. But here, Beis Shammai is drawing distinctions. And also, he's speaking about a kaseves, which is not the usual shear. Why? Answers Beis Shammai. In can lichta rechmana chametz. Wouldn't it be enough for the Torah to write chametz? V'loy boy sa'or. And I don't need the Torah to write sa'or. V'anam mina, and I'll say the following. Omaa chametz she'en chemutza kasha. If chametz that isn't so serious, because it can't make something else chametz. The shir is a kazayis, sa'or, yeast, she'chemutza kasha, loy kashke. So why did the Torah have to write that both are also to be kept in your possession on Yontif? Saw the kasher rachman alamali. Why melech to teach us shiur shalzeh like shiur shalzeh? They have different shiurim. And as Rashi explains, once we know that the shiur for saor is not the same shiur as chametz, we'll say that chametz is a kezayis, and saor is the next shiur. And like we find in Masechta Yuma, the shiur above a kezayis is a kesevis. Or the Pnei Yeshua explains Rashi that there was a halacha l'moshe m'Sinai that teaches us that wherever the shear is not a kezayis, you should say that the shear is a kesevis. So here that we know it's not a kezayis, it must be a kesevis. Ask the Shita Mekubetzes. We have a rule throughout Shas, na'ein on shem adin. You can't make up halachas with a kavachomer. So how are we going to rely on a kavachomer? So a number of answers given. One answer is that here we're not speaking about the din. We know that sar is also. We're only talking about a shear. For a shear, we can rely on a kal v'chaymer. Another answer, and we're going to speak about this later, is that when do we say that we can't rely on a kal v'chaymer? That's to give an einish, to determine the punishment. For by raw, by matzah, there's no punishment. So there we can rely on kal v'chaymer. Another answer I saw is that the isser of having chametz on your possession on Pesach is not only an isser lav. It's also chiv asei, because the Torah says tashvisu, you have to get rid of the chametz. There you can rely on a kal v'chaymer. What's Beis Hillel's approach? Beis Hillel, why do you have to have both sar and kezayis? Tzrichi. Dikas rachman sar, had the Torah only written the word sar, have a minim shum nechemutz akasha. It has the ability to make something else chametz. Ah, but chametz dein chemutz akasha. Chametz can't make something else chametz. A meloi, there the shear should not be, it should not be over by yirotz, by Yirah, by Yimotzah, Tzrich, the Torah has to tell us. Vikas Rachman Chametz, had the Torah only mentioned Chametz, Mishum the Royal Achila. Chametz is edible. Ava Sar Sh'en Royal Achila, Sar is not edible, you can't eat the sourdough, this yeast. A Malay, there's no Issa by Yirah, by Yimotzah, Tzrich. That's why you need to have both. Ask the Gemara, or Beshamay Leslud Reb Zera. Does Beshamay not agree with what Reb Zera said? Dom Reb Zera, Pasach HaKosah Besar. First the Torah says, Sa'or lo yimotzeh b'beteichem. V'sayim b'chometz, and then the Torah uses the word, Ki kol ha'ochel mechmetzes, lo yimloch, zeh sa'or, zeh chometz. That sa'or and chometz have the same din. So we see that they have the same din, like Beis Hillel, not Beis Shammai. Answers the Gemara. Linyan achila, as far as eating, there is no machlok between Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, kulam lo pligi, but how much are you not allowed to eat? A kezayis. The machlokes is, how much do you have, when is there a din of bayi ra bayi matzah? Basham isar v'loya binan biya mechila. We don't learn the halacha of bayi ra bayi matzah from mechila. Basil isarvi yapinan biya mechila. We do. And therefore, just like by achila the shir is a kezayis, so too by beer is the shir kezayis. And the Chassam Sofer has a beautiful explanation in explaining the machlokes. Basil says the Chassam Sofer, the why is there a din by Yirah by Yimotzah that you're not allowed to have chametz in your possession on Yontif? Says the Chassam Sofer, because the Torah said that we don't want you to own chametz, because if you own chametz, you may come to eat the chametz. So if the shir achila is a kezayis, the shir by Yirah by Yimotzah is a kezayis. But Shammai, on the other hand, says the Chassam Sofer, says that these are two separate rules, no connection one with the other. Achila is achila, and that the shir is kezayis. By Yirah, by Yimotzah is a new din. An adapted din will be Kesevis by Sar, Kezayis by Chametz. It menami, Amar Rabbi Yosef bar Chanina. Machlokes linyan bir. The machlokes is by Yirah, by Yimotzah. Av linyan achila, divrei hakol zevaza b'kezayis. Tanya nami hochi, v'lo Yirah l'cha Chametz, v'lo Yirah l'cha Sar. Machlokes shebein b'shamay b'shilol. When is there machlokes between b'sham b'shilol? Shebeish aymer b'sham aymer misar b'kazayis v'chametz b'kasevis. B'shilol aymer zevis b'kazayis. Regarding what? By yirah by yimotzah. Regarding achila, the shear is a kazayis. So there's a gevaldige kasha from to Shagas Aryeh.
He says, I don't understand the machlokes. What is the practical nafkamina between the machlokes between Beisham and Beis Hillel? We said earlier, says the Shagas Aryeh, that there is no punishment for Bayiro Bayimotzah. On the other hand, even if you have less than the shear, we have a klal throughout Shas, the Chatzi Shear Asim in the Torah, that even when you have less than the shear, it's not relevant, you're not allowed to have it. So what's the machlok between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel? You're not allowed to have less than a kesevis because it's a chatzi shear. An einish you won't get anyway. So where's the practical machlokes? That's the Shagas Aryeh's kasha. So the Shagas Aryeh, because it is kasha, says a very big chiddush. He says, when is there a din of chatzi shear? The din of chatzi shear is only by midat achila, by something that you eat. Here we're talking about tsar. Beis Shammai Beis Hillel arguing over tsar, which we said before is not edible. Therefore, there is no din of chatzi shear. So according to Beis Hillel, only if you had a kezayis of tsar, are you over by your rabbi matzah, less than it you're allowed to have in your possession. And according to Beis Shammai, you're allowed to have a kesevis. Very bechidish. Because usually we say chatzi shear everywhere. So I saw a few other terutzim, all very nice terutzim. One terutz is, we know that Torah says, leisishkat al chametz tam zivchi. That when you bring the Karban Pesach, you're not allowed to own chametz. If you own chametz, you're not allowed to bring the Karban Pesach. So that would be a practical nafkamina. According to Beis Shammai, if you own a kezayis, a kesevis of tsar, you can't bring the Karban Pesach. If you own less, you'd be allowed to bring it. According to Beis Hillel, as soon as you own a kezayis of tsar, you're not allowed to bring the Karban Pesach. Another nafkamina is, we know that Chazal said that if you owned chametz over Pesach, they gave us a knas, a fine, of chametz shovel over Pesach, you're not allowed to have. So what would be the halach if somebody owned the kezayis of sa'or over Pesach? According to Beis Hillel, that's called chametz shovel over Pesach. According to Beis Shammai, since it's less than a kesevis, it's not chametz shovel over Pesach. Or another nafkamina, and we spoke about this nafkamina when we learned the Mishnah. What would be the halacha? It's yontif. And you find in your possession a kezayis of sa'or. So now you have a dilemma. On one hand, it's muksa. You can't use sa'or and Pesach. On the other hand, you have a chiv to burn it. So according to Beis Hillel, since there's a chiv by kezayis, the chiv, the raisa to burn it, supersedes this a muksa. But according to Beis Shammai, there is no chiv deraisa. Why? Because it's less than a kesevis. So now it reverts to halacha of muksa, and you wouldn't burn it. Yeah, tashbisu. Like the mandam that says the beer is strafe.
You said tsar is not edible. I'm learning a Mishnah.